Welcome to the Vegas Business Report, powered by Reliable Environmental Services. Coming up, an inside look at the business of Las Vegas. Stay tuned for interviews with the movers and shakers at the top and on the way up. Plus, Las Vegas sports, entertainment, restaurants, weather, and more. This is the Vegas Business Report, because there's no business like Vegas business. Now, here's Jeff Nathanson and JJ Snyder.
And welcome to an all-new edition of Vegas Business Report. Happy Saturday, everybody. Thank you so much for joining us. It's going to be a really fun show. I'm JJ Snyder, joined by my co-host, Jeff Nathanson. Jeff, how are you?
Good morning. Good morning. 11:07. We are already into the day, entering kind of brunch territory, and really excited about this edition of Vegas Business Report. We got a bunch of emails on the website after last week's show with people essentially saying, this is kind of cool. This is about business. Business drives the economy. Business drives jobs. All of those things. So I'm going to answer everybody in bulk right here instead of emailing everybody back.
Jeff.
That emailed info@vegasbusinessreport.com. And the answer is, we're happy to do it. We're open to ideas. We love talking to business leaders, profiling people and companies. So really excited about that feedback and looking forward to today.
Great feedback on our social media as well. Thank you guys for all the DMs and the text messages. And yeah, like Jeff said, if you know an interesting business owner here in the Las Vegas Valley, maybe it's a family member, maybe it's you yourself who's listening, maybe it's your neighbor down the street. We'd love to profile them. We'd love to kind of shine the light on all the interesting movers and shakers. Listen, Vegas is a melting pot. Bless all the people who are born here. I'm giving you a big shout out because I think that's
born
awesome.
Born and raised.
I think there should be a special pin. I've been saying this for years. For people who are born and raised here, Vegas born. Heather Collins, who's
that's
in
right.
the building right here.
That's right.
But if you moved here for opportunity, which I did, which my husband did over a decade ago, which you did, you and Allison, Jeff, moved here for opportunity, economic opportunity. Let's profile it. Let's get into what the opportunities are today in 2026. Great show today. You know, as promised, Jeff, we're going to have a follow-up with Sandra from Bayou Scratch Kitchen. And we're watching her entrepreneurial journey. She's opening a restaurant.
I can't wait to see it. I can't wait to see it. That's going to be coming up. Later on, we're going to meet the Just One Project in our nonprofit segment. That's a little bit later on this hour before noon. And then also coming up straight away, we're going to talk to a company called Broken Coffee. I'm going to find out what that means, but it's a coffee shop, multiple coffee shops. And we're looking forward to meeting Christopher Yelverton from Broken Coffee and see what they're all about.
So I can
coffee?
Tell you,
you coffee person.
I am so a coffee person. So, but they also do something called a broken cream latte. Do you do a latte once in a while?
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Little matcha. I mean, they're doing things that are, slightly untraditional that are just so tasty. So Christopher, there are three locations right now with Broken Coffee. We're going to be talking about him. Fort Apache, you might know.
That's the one I've been to.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I ordered there.
You're on that side of the town.
Yeah, it's good.
Okay. Cheongdam Asian Food Hall, which is located on Spring Mountain, if you know that one. Very popular. But yeah, we're looking forward to talking all things coffee. And I don't know. I would love to also talk about some sports.
Now, the business of sports.
So let's start with Major League Soccer.
Ooh.
So we've talked, and even last week, JJ, we talked about, Major League Baseball coming to Vegas. We already have the NFL with the Raiders, right? Now we're getting the A's coming to Vegas. They're talking about a pro basketball team. The Golden Knights are hallmarks of Las Vegas. Major League Soccer is big business. It's a little bit different market than some of the other big sports, but there is talk, nothing definitive.
Okay.
But there is a franchise in Vancouver, the Vancouver Whitecaps. They've been struggling for years trying to move or sell the team or get a better stadium deal, all the finance behind it. But Las Vegas has stepped up and said, hey, we will take Major League Soccer. Now, I can tell you, when they've played some friendlies at Allegiant Stadium, like England versus, Manchester United or whatever it was,
that was a big deal.
They draw well, right? So having a major league team, and of course we did have the lights in the United Soccer League here as well. But
I really enjoyed having the lights here. I went to quite a few games. Yeah, I did.
Okay, good for you.
I'm sorry to. It's such a girl thing, but I really loved their uniforms and their logos.
Okay.
So I still have a lot of Lights FC merch.
Nice by you. So that's a story that we're trying to follow. Again, they're trying to work it out. But Major League Soccer, if you don't know, is high-level soccer. It's pro soccer. It's not the Premier League. But it's really, I mean, obviously Messi plays in Major League Soccer, right? So I mean, there are some amazingly talented people. So that's something. The other thing I wanted to share on the sports update is strictly numbers, by the numbers. So we talk about pro sports. WrestleMania is entertainment. It's not actually unscripted live sport. It's theater is what it is. But I'm looking at that from a business perspective. So I just pulled up some numbers, JJ, from 2025. So they just had the 2026 couple of weeks back. 2025, they had 124,000 people that attended WrestleMania. What do you think of the 124,000? What percentage of that was locals versus tourists?
Oh, wow. Okay. So I did go to one of the matches, and I did feel like, I felt like it was pretty tourist heavy. So
yeah.
I would say, I'll say 75% tourists, 25% You're locals.
You're low on that. It's really? Actually, the data says 90% of the attendees in 2025 for WrestleMania were from out of town.
Wow.
Now, the people that are in town, a lot of jobs, right? A lot of hours, a lot of, you know, events around WrestleMania. So that was good. The overall economic value was $300 million plus money that came into the city. Because again, 124,000 attendees. That's to get into the event, plus hotel, plus restaurants, plus Ubers, all that stuff. So it was pretty big. And just the taxes that came in from the production company, the event management company, $17 million in 2025. So that's big.
It's so interesting because when you're talking about profit too, I want to go back to the potential soccer team coming here to Las Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
What a great way to up our international tourist numbers again, because of course we know soccer is such an international
global
sport.
And World Cup, of course, you know, coming this summer to the United States. So that's a big deal too.
Very exciting.
That's it for your sports report. Big money coming in town from all these big attractions. We have a lot more coming up on this edition of the Vegas Business Report.
Welcome back to the Vegas Business Report, powered by Reliable Environmental Services. Now back to the business at hand.
All right, we roll on this Saturday. Jeff Nathanson with J.J. Snyder. This portion of the program is being brought to you by Reliable Environmental Services, precision, speed, and accountability. Call 1-888-545-7182 for a free estimate for your business. We move on right now, J.J. We want to start talking Vegas business directly. It is time for the business of business.
Now, the business of dining.
And today we're featuring Broken Coffee, a Vegas-born coffee shop. Now with three locations across the valley, they are serving up something hot and delicious. And today we have two of their stars in our studio here with us, Christopher Yelverton. He is the general manager. And Erica I.M., she is the project manager of Broken Coffee. Welcome in, guys.
Hi there. Hey, guys. What's up? What's going on?
Well, hi, everyone.
We're excited, and we're excited for a couple of reasons. Number one, JJ mentioned this morning, we love coffee.
Love coffee.
That's number one. We love coffee.
Let's get buzzed.
Very, very important part. Very important part of our day, and we're excited because you guys are in Las Vegas. So you drive around Vegas, you see Starbucks, you see all these other ones. I went into Broken Coffee, the one on Fort Apache. And I think, how long has it been open, Chris?
Fort Apache, we opened last year before the holiday season.
Okay.
Around like November?
Yep.
Around November.
So it's brand new.
Yeah.
And that's new in the coffee business, right? So let's talk about that. So that's the one I went into. I talked to Scott there. I told him we do the Vegas Business Report. He said, you got to talk to Erica. You got to talk to Chris. And I said, great. By the way, can I get a latte? So we got all that squared away. So let's start with the name, because Broken Coffee is kind of unique. Maybe, Chris, you could take that one. Where does that name come from? What does that mean? It's a coffee house. What is a broken coffee?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, for broken coffee, I mean, first, it started with a passion, but we really honed in on the word broken. I think a lot of people look at that word immediately, and, you know, there can be sometimes a negative connotation behind the word broken. And I think for broken coffee, what makes us unique is we want to change the stereotype of how people look at coffee and how people, you know, associate the start of their day. You know, our goal is, you know, when you come into any broken coffee location, it feels like you've stepped into a new world for just a minute, and you're getting, you know, our quality drinks, and you can feel our standard, our approach, our craftsmanship. And, you know, generally, broken coffee, it's a very happy, bubbly, positive, approachable environment where, you know, there's no barista intimidation. You can ask those questions of what is a cortado, what's a flat white, you know? And so that's part of what I think makes broken coffee so unique is changing the stereotype, mm-hmm. delivering consistent quality stuff, you know, in a place that can feel like home.
I love it. And I love trying new things. And you are definitely featuring some unique ingredients and twists on traditional drinks. Matcha is a big thing right now. Can we talk about trends in coffee? I mean, because you have a basic black coffee that you serve up, of course. But tell me, like, what's trending in the coffee world right now?
I mean, in coffee right now, I mean, I think of in any coffee shop, cafe, I mean, we all know matcha is very, very trendy right now. Everyone's on the matcha train. I mean, I think for us, while our
can
name
we,
is...
Can we talk about what that is?
Yeah, I mean, and we are Broken Coffee, but I also love that people can come to Broken Coffee for whatever they want. You know, we also serve that ceremonial grade matcha. And for those that didn't know, we're using Uji matcha. It's got more of a mellow sweetness, a creamy texture. So we chose Uji as our matcha that we want
nice.
To use. In terms of what's kind of trending in coffee, I mean, if you go online on social media, things take off pretty fast. I mean, the thing is with coffee, I feel like a lot of things have been done so much, even in the world of matcha. I mean, for us at Broken Coffee, we pretty much stick to what we know and love, our signatures, like our Broken Cream Latte. But you can look forward to some upcoming seasonal drinks, too. We try to be creative and plan things. So try
is
to
this
break
a,
away
a
from
scoop?
Them.
Are you going to give us an exclusive
Ooh, yeah.
scoop?
What is coming up this
can you,
summer?
Can you tell us what's coming up
well,
in the summer?
Well, there's got to be some ice drinks over the summer, aren't there?
Yeah, absolutely. Sure. We got to keep our fans cool. You can definitely expect some upcoming seasonal drinks to look forward to,
okay.
for sure.
I'm looking forward to that.
With a couple flavors.
Erica is here, one of the project managers for Broken Coffee. Let's talk about the business side of it, right? Mm-hmm. How do you build a business in Las Vegas, in the coffee world, right? How do you become a player in that? And then how do you scale it? Because I think scaling, when you add locations, mm-hmm. that's where you start to grow, right? How does that happen?
I mean, like, we start our Broken Coffee in Las Vegas locally, but before we starting it, as you look at our first location, we start very small, like, unique space.
Okay.
It's not even a store. It's a space. But the people loves us, and now we are expanding it, like, thankfully and very blessed that people, like, love our drinks. So, like, as we expanding it, we also just, can I talk like our new location as
oh,
well? It's
sure.
upcoming new location.
Another press release.
Yeah. A fourth location?
Yeah, fourth location in Silverado Ranch.
Silverado Ranch,
it's right
okay.
next to South Point Hotel.
Yes.
Oh,
yeah,
uh-huh. love South Point.
So yeah, we work on it right now. Chris and me so busy to like open that new store as well. We are going to open around like end of May. Yeah. So I mean, really appreciate how people love our coffee. And as a project manager, I didn't really expect opening first location, but then, like I mentioned, you know, thankfully people love this. So first location coming, once first location coming and open it, then we might go another one, fifth location. Now we are also potentially planning as well.
Does it get easier to open more locations because now you've done it, you've seen it, the blueprint. Mm-hmm. So is it just like rinse and repeat for the fourth location or is it different every time?
Different every time.
Okay.
The funny thing, like I mentioned, first location, we open in space, not even store. Second location, we open in like Asian Pacific Plaza. So
okay.
it's a store. So, I mean, and also third location, another space size. And fourth location, we have a drive-through. So it's everything is different.
Yeah.
Having a drive-through really is a game changer, isn't it? And I bet you just even staffing that and figuring out the workflow is really a challenge. That's so exciting.
You were talking about like what's trending. I want to I want to hit up Chris here and find out what's trending on the pastry side, because when I went in there, it was what you said. It feels like home. I'm sitting there, I'm having my coffee, chilling, and then I'm like looking over here going, hey, that looks kind of good. Maybe I need a snack. And as it turned out, I did. I had the matcha cookie, which was very, very good and kind of made me feel good. I don't know why I just did. But what about, how much is the non-coffee part of your business, Chris?
I mean, people come for their latte but also have to grab a baked good. And it's a great combo. But I think what is so great about it is when you try, whether it's that matcha cookie, you know, or salted bread, our fig and cream cheese Danish rolls, our scones, hopefully it has that homemade touch, because our bakers that we choose to make these items, they also share the same equal passion we do when we make our lattes, when they're making their bread. And so I think that that's what makes it so different, because these are just people who just love what they do. And I think that comes through each and every time.
I think we can all agree that when you go into a coffee shop and you see the pastries, you really do know kind of the level of coffee shop you're at, because I can get a black coffee from a gas station and be pretty happy if I must. But I think when pastries come out of a plastic bag and they go into a microwave, or you can tell that they're really, you know, just out of a package, it's just not the same. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
is
I
it?
Agree.
Yeah.
So for the pastry part, you know, I'm glad everyone loves our pastry. So we are also planning to expanding our number of the pastry as well, upcoming as well.
I want to, go ahead.
Oh, no, I want to ask you, Jeff, what percentage of people who come in to Broken Coffee do you think buy a pastry with their coffee?
I've been there several times, and there's always four people in line.
Okay.
So, and then when the first person gets their stuff and they go sit down, somebody else comes in the door. So it's a constant turnover. And I would say of those people, and maybe
can we guess? Do you guys have an answer
maybe
for
there's
us?
20 people in the house. Okay. There are 18 people, something like that, in the Fort Apache one. I'm going to think more than half of the people are also going coffee, what I call coffee plus snack, coffee plus a snack.
Yeah.
We're getting nods.
Yeah, absolutely. You guys, you hit the nail right on the head. I mean, we sell out of our baked goods at every location.
Wow.
Sometimes even before noon. I mean, depending on how crazy, like if we're talking a Saturday, Sunday morning, I think what's also, when you've had it, you want more. And you come back and you get more. So.
Also, it is habitual. Coffee is habitual, obviously.
Yes.
Caffeine is habitual. But ordering that pastry with your coffee is also habitual, for sure. So, very exciting. We hear you're offering opening a fourth location down by South Point. What are the hours of Broken Coffee Shops?
So each store has a different hour.
Mm-hmm.
But for newly opening store, for soap opening, we might open 7 a.m. to 6 p.m.
Mm.
But like generally, first location, we open at 8 a.m. until 10:30 p.m.
Wow.
Second location.
That's an all day.
Yeah. We open 7 a.m. and close at 9 p.m. Third location, we open at 7 a.m. and close at 6 p.m.
So it depends.
It depends.
Okay.
Depending on like population and, you know, like where we at. So each location is different time.
Fair enough. Let's take a quick time out. Can you guys stay over after the break? We want to break down and jump in a little bit more into things that people can kind of learn from you guys about building businesses in Las Vegas, right? So we want to do that. We'll take a quick time out. We're talking right now with Chris and Erica from Broken Coffee, and we're going to take a time out, and we will come right back with more with them, more coffee talk after this message on Vegas Business Report.
Welcome back to the Vegas Business Report, powered by Reliable Environmental Services. Now, back to the business at hand.
And we are back on Vegas Business Report. Jeff Nathanson, J.J. Snyder, talking with Christopher. Do you go by Chris or Christopher? Christopher's more formal.
We've already started calling him Chris.
You could. I will say the only person on this planet that calls me Christopher is my mom.
Okay.
But you can call me Chris.
Okay.
Yeah.
We'll
if you
go
call
Chris
me Chris,
for this.
I'm just thinking my mom.
Chris Yelverton from Broken Coffee and Erica M. as well joining us this morning. And we're talking about Vegas business, which is kind of what we do, and Broken Coffee, multiple locations, scaling business, fairly new to Las Vegas, and I think on the way up too.
Absolutely. Opening this fourth location, which will be located down by the South Point Hotel, which all of us know, that is actually a great area. I know because I live near it, so I'm happy to hear you're expanding there.
Maybe you could be the first customer.
Yeah. Oh,
maybe
can I?
You could be customer one.
Do we have an opening date yet?
We aiming on May 22nd.
Is that good for you, JJ?
Close.
Is that a good day for you?
Yes, so that's perfect.
Okay.
I'll be there. Be there. Bright and early, too. When you come down to these last few weeks before you open, particularly when you have a drive-through at your location, what are some of the challenges and you know, some of the things you really need to make happen just in these final days before you open?
So pretty much we have a really perfect team, including Chris. So everyone really helping each other, and we have our own, you know, like responsibility and jobs. So I don't really have a hard time. But then the thing is, like I mentioned, it's first store with a drive-through. So, you know, like Broken Coffee, our the main thing, provide customer with a perfect quality drinks with 1 minute cup. So, you know,
in 1 minute.
Wow. I didn't know that.
Also, is that your guarantee?
Well, that's what we're pushing for.
Yeah, we're pushing for it.
Yeah.
Yeah. But then like for drive-through same time, you know, like when car enters the drive-through and by the time they get to the window, I want to serve them drinks right away.
Amazing.
So that's like floor planning and, you know, like operation side-wise. That's kind of really challenging for me. I was like, oh, espresso machine here, POS here, you know, like, which way will make our employee works best way and also for the customers.
I mean, it's really about efficiency. And right now I'm getting this vision, since we are in Vegas, of Formula One and like a pit crew. But that's what you're doing by setting up a drive-through at a coffee shop, aren't you?
Yeah, no, absolutely. And that's really, I think you mentioned it, Erica, the customer experience.
Mm-hmm.
Not everybody talks about that. They talk about other things around the business, like the parking, and that's part of customer experience. The dedication to service and quality, that's what I think why people go back to places. So I think that's really great that that's one of your like foundational things. Chris, when you look at scaling this company, right, which is part of what you're involved in, right? And what Erica was reporting earlier is, oh, wow, another location. So it sounds like the goal was to get one up and running last year. And then, hey, you know what? People like this. So how did the scaling plans happen? And what are the goals in Las Vegas for Broken Coffee?
You know, when we first started Broken Coffee, like Erica mentioned, you know, it was a hole in the wall.
Yeah.
And like any business, when you first start it, people don't really know about you. But it took every individual connection with every person that walked in for the first time to share something and what made us different. You know, coffee is community and connection. And we're just going to keep growing Broken Coffee here, primarily in Vegas, really established here. But let's see where our passion and community takes us outside of Vegas, hopefully in the future.
I am really interested in how much social media has played into the success of your three locations going on forth.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think what's kind of great about coffee, and depending how aesthetically pleasing a latte looks, it's just so organic to take a selfie with it. And then the next thing of that is you're posting on your Instagram or social media. And then the next thing is someone's like, where'd you get that? And then they're coming in. Mm-hmm. And I think what coffee, you know, coffee in itself is so trendy, where I think for us, people love it, where it's such a natural thing for people want to be like, have you had the Broken Cream Latte? Because even for me, if I travel elsewhere and I try things I like to experiment and explore, I always find myself going back to that drink that I can't quite find anywhere else. So I think Broken Coffee does something magical with that.
Can I ask a question that I think a lot of people listening want to ask if they were here with you guys? And that is, when you're talking about like with a latte and you add the milk, mm-hmm. and it comes out looking like a leaf or something like that.
Yeah.
Dude, who can comment on that? How hard is it to get that right? And what is involved in that? I think people want to know because it is such a kind of a beautiful outcome when you're getting your coffee, mm-hmm. and it's just so visual.
And for visual-wise, before we open it, really, we work hard. You know, for example, before we opening, like we put espresso milk together and cream it, and how does it look like? And like, you know, there are so many experiments that we did it, and eventually we find out this looking, good-looking, you know, things. So now we're serving people, and I'm glad that people really love it. That's why when we're training our barista, we are like, do not really just pull the espresso, pull this way, even matcha. Do not put matcha in the center. Try to put around the edge. You know, every little steps, we really training our staff. So, you know, our customer, they also can enjoy our drink as a taste-wise, but also they satisfy looking at the drinks too.
Yeah,
so,
a beautiful drink.
So there's a technique to it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Okay. Right. I mean, the technicality part of it, when it comes down to coffee, it's so much more than that bit of relief, that first sip. It's right down to science. I mean, depending on the type of milk, how much you're aerating it, the temperature, and then there's just different factors that come into play. And even Farrick and myself, where, you know, it started with a passion and a love for what we do, we're still learning as we go, you know. And some of the most unique designs you can find on social media, we're still working on that ourselves. But it's definitely not easy. It takes time.
I'm glad you said, like, a coffee drink can be a, you know, comes down to science, because I think we've all maybe ordered a latte or a cappuccino somewhere and you're like, this is literally 90% milk. Like, what is happening here?
Right.
Yeah. So there have to be standards, and then you have to repeat those standards for sure. Guys, it's so exciting to have you in. Thank you so much. I'm kind of intrigued as well because you have these four locations and you are open kind of later in the evening. I mean, you're not a coffee shop that, you know, closes it at 2 in the afternoon, but at all these locations. What are your biggest waves during the day? And let's take your original location, which is that smaller space, which is on, you know, honestly where the town kind of discovered you. What are the different, obviously you're having a morning coffee wave, right? But what are some of the interesting trends you see of the room filling up?
I mean, in terms of like peak and volume, I mean, as you guys would expect, you wake up, what do you think of coffee? People typically day, it's going to be busier. Peak times are definitely, you know, around 11 into the afternoon. People like a coffee break or a lunch break. They're grabbing a latte. But I also, I think when I think of first location, you know, our little hole in the wall we started, you know, when in an office setting, someone wants that drink and they're like, oh, are you getting some? Can you get me something too? And then it starts from two drinks to now we've got an online order of 13 broken cream lattes, one oat, one almond, half sweet, this one less cream. And then the baristas are like, help, because the tickets are piling up, you know. But that's how it really begins when you think about like, what are you drinking that looks so good? And then what's even crazier about that is the next time it gets bigger because now everyone wants broken coffee. So you go from 13 to 20 drinks. It's crazy.
See, it didn't even occur to me they would be taking online orders, of course, right?
Oh, yeah.
But I'm just thinking about the people like you, Jeff, that were in line.
Yes, I know.
But that complicates things, doesn't
yes,
it?
It's tough.
Also, the funny thing, you know, like as we growing up, you know, like first time, let's say we can see the customer's name. For example, like Chris ordered one drink. Next time he ordered like Chris with like 5 drinks. Next time 10 drinks.
Wait a minute.
You know, for example, morning time, like Erica, our regular customer Erica, she now ordered like 16.
See, so your customers like to share, and that it does kind of come back to word of mouth.
It
and
goes
experience.
Back to
we
feeling,
love it.
Feeling like you're at home. Yeah. Hey, Erica, thank you so much for being here. Chris as well. Thank you guys for stopping by. Broken Coffee all over Vegas with, as we broke the story, more locations coming
fourth
up.
Fourth location
down
coming
by
near
South
the
Point.
South Point.
Awesome. Thank you guys so much for being here.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
As we continue on Vegas Business Report, we now are going to take a look at the business of entertainment.
Now, the business of entertainment.
All right. JJ, it's time for the hit list. A lot of stuff going on in town. We are very fortunate to have you on this team because you are out and about all the time. You see everything. You go to everything. You visit everything. Share with us Las Vegas in terms of the entertainment report this week.
Oh my gosh. I mean, this month has been so exciting, Jeff. So I want to talk about something that's happened, something that is happening, and something that will happen coming down the road. First off, Banana Ball was here at the very beginning of the month. And I think everyone has heard of the Savannah Bananas at this point, the viral baseball team that became a thing during the pandemic, sharing their like absolute hijinks on the baseball field.
That's what it is, hijinks.
And dances. Yes, incredible. So what has happened is the popularity has turned into now a league. It is now called Banana Ball. Savannah Bananas has now turned into six different baseball teams.
Insane.
And they're doing a national tour this year. So I was there opening night at the Las Vegas ballpark. It was the last day of April and the first night of Banana Ball here in Las Vegas. It is so much fun, and I feel like it's so good for baseball. And I think anyone who went, whether you went with your family or you went with a group of friends and were having cocktails, can see that this is a phenomenon that is on fire right now.
It reminds me a little bit of like the Harlem Globetrotters for basketball and what they do with baseball, because it's a little more fun. Like, I've seen some highlights of like the umpire dancing. You don't see that in a regular Major League Baseball game. So it's entertainment slash baseball.
I think, Jeff, that is the very best comparison right there, for sure. They are like the Harlem Globetrotters of baseball, for sure. But they're a whole lot of fun. If you didn't get a chance to see them at one of their three games at the Las Vegas ballpark, they are touring the country all throughout the year. Also, I had to go home and do a deep dive on Google, and it's actually really encouraging to see how much the players make. It's actually,
encouraging for them or
yes,
for us?
No, for them. It's actually some pretty decent salaries.
Yeah.
Sometimes the salaries now for these Banana Ball players, they're out earning like a minor league baseball player across the country.
Well, they're selling out stadiums. So run the numbers, right? And what do they have to really, they need a stadium, which the stadium's there. They need baseballs, bats, gloves, and cleats, right? And maybe some other, like, you know, entertainment-oriented folks to play music and stuff. But I think it's a pretty good business model. So good for them. So glad you got a chance to see that. We'll keep it our eyes peeled for that when they come back.
For
Vegas.
Sure. Absolutely. Now, something that is happening is this amazing residency of No Doubt at the Sphere. I went to their second show on the Friday night.
Nice.
Yeah, it was incredible. This is a show that is absolutely built for lifetime fans of No Doubt. Like, if you want to grab some 90s nostalgia and go right there, like all four members on stage, playing every hit that you would expect that they would play, and then all those incredible visuals of the Sphere. So I love Gwen Stefani. I don't know how you feel about her. But
yeah, I love No Doubt and Gwen. And obviously she blew up going on The Voice, and everybody knows her in the country now. They're from Orange County, California.
Oh, they're so OC.
So they were like a local band when I was a little bit younger in LA. And so great to have a huge crowd, and people are into it. And the Sphere has the visuals and all those things. So amazing that you got a chance to go.
Also, she's the first female headliner to play at the Sphere. So that's pretty exciting.
Wow.
It's about time for that, right?
Awesome. Well, thank you, JJ, for the hit list. We'll take a break. When we come back, it'll be time for the Nonprofit Spotlight. Today, we're featuring the Just One Project. That is next on Vegas Business Report.
Welcome back to the Vegas Business Report, powered by Reliable Environmental Services. Now it's time for Nonprofit Spotlight.
This is a nonprofit so special that Jeff and I had to get out and see it for ourselves. We're here at the Just One Project, one of the organizations that is front line in addressing food insecurity and so many other things right here in Las Vegas.
And totally different when you come to the location. From talking to somebody in studio versus coming here, seeing what's going on, seeing the people that are doing this amazing work that supports the community. And we're going to talk with one of them right now. It is Cynthia Lewis. She is the Director of Special Projects for the Just One Project. And Cynthia, thank you so much for being here on Vegas Business Report.
Thank you for having me and us. Our team is super excited to be a part of this.
Let's talk about food. which I like to do anyway. But let's talk about the other side of food, which is food insecurity, right? And so you guys deal with that. Tell me a little bit about the Just One project and how your approach to this may be different from like a traditional food bank.
Yeah, well, food insecurity is just the tip of the iceberg. So we are basically using grocery assistance as a welcoming mat to case management and wraparound services. We are using a systems-based approach to change and create generational cycles of change.
I want to learn more about what you guys do. What makes your approach different from just kind of like a generic food bank type of situation?
Okay, so the food bank here in Southern Nevada is Three Square. So everyone else is a food pantry.
Ah.
So that's a key difference. We are Three Square's largest agency partner as far as grocery distribution, but we also have a new food bank arm to our nonprofit because we support over 40 other smaller nonprofit agencies.
How big of an issue is food insecurity in Southern Nevada?
It's huge and it's crazy. And we didn't even know until we started down this path. The Just One Project started as a volunteer-based organization. Facebook was just coming out. It was a transition from MySpace over to Facebook.
Nice. I remember that time.
Yeah, those were the days. And Brooke made a page and started posting pictures and videos, which she still loves to do to this day. And one of the videos caught the attention of Del Monte. So they reached out and they were like, hey, are you a 501c3? And we're like, yes, we are. And they offered us 25,000 pounds of fresh produce.
Wow.
And we were like, yeah, we'll take that. And that was kind of like an aha moment of there's these big companies that have items that they need, you know, basically to get off their hands, but for tax benefits for them and to prevent waste. And so they said, well, it's in Southern California and it's perishable. So you have to get it by tomorrow. Otherwise, we need to move on. Basically, they got to find someone that's going to come rescue, you know, that produce. So we had an amazing friend, Michael, in trucking and logistics that Brooke went to high school with. He was a very close friend. And he was like, no problem. I got it. So he went and got the produce. We brought it back. We had been serving an area over on the east side of town for a while, probably 8 or 9 months. By then, and we took it there and we started, you know, passing out this fresh produce and watching these kiddos eat mangoes and kiwis was just amazing because they don't have access. Mm-hmm. So on site there, there's a liquor store right there on the corner, basically attached to that apartment complex. And granted, I've never been in there, but I have been inside this Family Dollar that's literally in our plaza, the next suite over from us. Mm-hmm. And on a day that I don't have a lunch, I go in there, yeah, looking for a snack. I leave empty-handed because, yeah, you can get pasta noodles and you can get a jar of sauce, but that's not how I make my spaghetti at home. I chop up a fresh onion, fresh garlic, fresh bell pepper, you know, ground turkey or ground beef, you know, mushrooms, and, you know, you make it into this well-balanced, whole-rounded, nutritious meal. You know, if I forget my lunch, I can't go over there and grab a salad. I can't grab some blueberries and a yogurt.
Even the term food insecurity, I remember when I learned it, because I think as a younger person, I think you would just refer to it as hunger.
Right.
But basically, you know, can you explain what food insecurity is?
Food insecurity is just not having reliable access to fresh groceries. Way back in the day, every plaza had a big box grocery store, whether it was a Vons, a Fresh and Easy. I don't know if you remember those.
Oh, yeah.
That old. Yeah. You know, or Walmarts and all that fun stuff. But slowly, they started shutting down, especially in, you know, low-income areas. I know theft was rampant and, you know, they're losing money and things like that. But again, it's the access. So not having proper transportation to get to the grocery items, and as well as being in a location that doesn't even have a store to begin with. So there's a zip code that has over 60,000 people living in it, and there's not one big box grocery store. So on the flip, when you're out in Summerlin, there's one everywhere. You know, there's the Albertsons on this corner, and then there's
Whole Foods.
Yeah, exactly. Yes, exactly. And Sprouts. So my favorite.
Yeah. Don't forget Sprouts.
So much work goes into a nonprofit like this. There's work, there's lifting of boxes, there's distribution, there's scaling all these things to serve the most people. So there has to be something that keeps you, Cynthia and the team, Brooke and the rest going. What is your motivation? Is there like a moment where every now and then you realize, wow, we just made We just changed something for somebody. We made an impact. Those stories really resonate with a lot of people. When you reflect on the work that you do and the team does here, what are those stories where you feel like, you know what? I'm looking in the mirror. We just did something really good.
We have those moments on a daily basis. It's insane. Literally every single day between any of our case managers or just, you know, our staff in conversations, whether it's meeting someone outside. One of them is we had a lady who had lost her kiddos to CPS because she was homeless and she wanted to do better. And she found out about us. She was working with our case manager and she was like, you know what? I want to go to welding school. And this is, you know, a lady. It's like, wow, okay, that's amazing. But the craziest thing is the case manager that she was working with, also a female, went to welding school and was a welder way back in the day when she was, you know, just trying to find a career. And so what we were able to do for her is to pay for her equipment so that she could start school.
Wow.
Now, the school had a program to cover tuition, but she didn't have money to, you know, to get the eye protective wear, the helmet, the gloves.
Kind of what you need for welding.
Yeah. So we're able to come in and cover those costs and then do financial literacy classes with her, budgeting, you know, get her housed, teach her how to, you know, start paying bills and being responsible and saving, all that fun stuff that people really don't get taught anymore. So long story short, she was housed. She got her own place. She's still a welder. She got her kiddo back. And it's just been amazing.
You're also just an amazing organization energetically. You have like such
vibe.
Uplifting vibe. Yes, for sure. And you draw a lot of volunteers, including a lot of the businesses that come on our show. Sometimes companies come and they bring their whole staff to volunteer.
MGM was here yesterday, MGM Foundation. They were amazing. Do a lot. Yeah, we do a lot of team building with a lot of different groups, which is really, really cool. Showing, and then we love to highlight them on our social media with their, you know, branded t-shirts and all that fun stuff. Showing our community who supports us is important for us. And it's great for the community to see, you know, names out there.
Amazing. The justoneproject.org is the website. If you want to participate, learn more about it, get involved, all of those things. Cynthia, thank you so much for joining us on the show.
My pleasure. Thanks for coming in to see us.
Thanks, girl.
Well, JJ, that is going to just about wrap it up for this edition of the Vegas Business Report for today. Great show, right? Thanks to our special guests, Chris Yelverton and Erica M. from Broken Coffee. What a story. Opened up all those coffee shops in the Valley. Also, special thanks to Cynthia Lewis from the Just One Project. It was great to visit them at their headquarters. The justoneproject.org is their website. Next week, a brand new Vegas Business Report right here on Saturday at 11 in the morning. We are really looking forward to talking with Tim Schneider of Aegis Learning. He is going to talk a little bit about leadership and development of leadership in a corporate world. He's been doing this in Las Vegas for over 30 years. So looking forward to an exclusive interview with Tim. That'll be next Saturday. The executive in charge of production for Vegas Business Report is Ben McKee. Today's show was produced by Allison Polkenhorn. Special thanks to Dan Doty for his production assistance, and today's show was mixed by Trent Ogle. For JJ Snyder, I'm Jeff Nathanson. We look forward to another Vegas Business Report coming your way next Saturday at 11 a.m. right here on 840 AM. For JJ Snyder, I'm Jeff Nathanson. Have a good rest of your weekend.
This has been the Vegas Business Report, powered by Reliable Environmental Services. Today's show is produced by Monarch CX. To visit the official show website, go to VegasBusinessReport.com.